Today, I'm going to assume two things about everybody here. First, that during school, that you were or are perfect angels. Never the troublemakers, always the innocent, well-behaved bystanders.
I agree. I'm perfect.
You got that? Is that a fair assumption? Second, I'm going to assume that you relate to this experience. You are just there, doing what the teacher wants, as white as snow, but other kids in class are talking, horsing around, and otherwise not lending to a conducive learning experience. And then the teacher has enough of what's going on and punishes the entire class. But you weren't doing anything wrong. You were a perfect angel. Why should you be punished too? Does that sound familiar to anybody? My guess is that if you haven't personally experienced that at school, you have otherwise. Perhaps at work, when they add or complicate a process because some other bozo can't be trusted. Have you ever done that? Now you have to jump through an extra hoop? Not because you didn't do it right every time, but because some other bozo did not. Or when the government, if you think about it, or when the government passes a law to restrict your freedom because others can't be trusted with the flexibility and so on. Do you relate? Everybody here relate?
Yeah,
now hold that thought.
The school one's for me.
School one you relate to. Hold that thought. Anybody here ever read the entire book of Lamentations? Yeah, no. You made a face. You probably have. You just don't necessarily remember.
If I have, it's probably been 40 years.
It's been a while. Well, that book was part of my read through the Bible 1 year plan this week. And we don't know for sure who wrote it, but does anybody have an idea of who they think might have written it?
Solomon.
Nope.
No?
It was way past Solomon. What's the book just before it? Let's see, you're going to have to turn to Lamentations anyway. So what's the
book?
No, let's all turn because we're going to read in Lamentations 3, but look just before it and tell me what book comes just before Lamentations. And then I'll give you a hint of who they think may have written it.
Jeremiah.
There you go. Jeremiah. Don't know for sure. Does it make it any less inspired if we don't know who wrote it? Because technically, as Christians, who do we think really wrote the Bible?
God.
Ultimately, right? Now, regardless, we're going to assume that Judah, because Israel has already suffered their punishment, right? The 10 tribes. Israel has already suffered their punishment. Judah is basically still around. We're going to assume that Judah is a classroom. Okay? Do you think that the writer, whoever it was of Lamentations in that classroom, would be one of the troublemakers or one of the innocent, well-behaved students?
Innocent.
Exactly. The latter, right? Innocent, well-behaved student. What about basically the rest of Judah? What do you think they are? Troublemakers with a capital T. So bad, Augie, so bad that God had to do something. And let's see how God doing something about all those troublemakers worked out for the writer. We're going to look at chapter 3, Lamentations chapter 3, and we're going to read quite a few verses, 1 through 18. We need to read all those verses so you really get the taste. Here you've got a writer who probably follows God better than we follow God. And this is what he wrote. I am the man who has seen affliction under the rod of his wrath. Who do you think his is?
God,
right? He has driven and brought me into darkness without any light. Surely against me he turns his hand again and again the whole day long. He has made my flesh and my skin waste away. He has broken my bones. He has besieged and enveloped me with bitterness and tribulation. He has made me dwell in darkness like the dead of long ago. He has walled me about so that I cannot escape. He has made my chains heavy. Though I call and cry for help, he shuts out my prayer. He has blocked my ways with blocks of stones. He has made my paths crooked. He is a bear lying in wait for me, a lion in hiding. He turned aside my steps and tore me to pieces. He has made me desolate. He bent his bow and set me as a target for his arrow. Oh. He drove into my kidneys the arrows of his quiver. I have become the laughingstock of all peoples, the object of their taunts all day long. He has filled me with bitterness. He has sated me with wormwood. He has made my teeth grind on gravel and made me cower in ashes. My soul is bereft of peace. I have forgotten what happiness is. So I say, my endurance has perished. So has my hope from the Lord. What's up, Augie? Bereft? How would you explain that, Deb? It's one of those words which I know it. I can't put it in words.
Lacking or without.
Yeah.
Oh. If you're bereft of food, you don't have food.
So how are things going for the author of Lamentations?
Not very well.
Not very well. You got that right, Deb. So bad that his hope from the Lord has perished. Why? Because of something he did? Is that why?
No.
Because something the class did. You might say that in the war started by the devil and initially joined by Adam and Eve in the garden, this writer was collateral damage. Does that make sense? This writer was collateral damage. Don't get me wrong. It's not that I think he was sinless. We all sin, right? We all sin. But clearly the punishment he is feeling from the Lord was mainly because of the crimes of others, not his own. Although generally less obvious, that's true for you and me too. We sin. Yes, we sin. And we suffer various consequences from our own failings. But much of the bad we experience on this planet is God allowing sin to play out. In many respects, sin is its own punishment. Sin naturally leads to pain and despair. And if the world had instead, in the garden, chosen God, or since then at any point had switched and chosen God, I can promise you that we wouldn't be having wars or sexually transmitted diseases or even hurricanes. Or I suppose if there were hurricanes, there'd always be some reason we didn't get hurt by them, right? God is actually punishing us by giving us what we asked for. Does that make sense? God is punishing us by giving us what we humans want, which is freedom from him. And freedom from him means freedom from his protections and his wisdom. Just praise God that he hasn't stepped back completely. Then the collateral damage would be incalculable. But our collateral damage, basically the sins of other, what happens from the sins of others, and natural consequences of our own sins, the only reason we suffer? Is that the only reason we suffer? Paul had something to say about that to Timothy, so let's look together. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Second Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 13. Yep, it's easy to go by him. I try to choose a larger book like Hebrews as an anchor, and then say to myself, is it before or after Hebrews?
Is it before Hebrews?
It is before Hebrews. First and Second Peter are?
Second Timothy, what?
Second Timothy chapter 3, 10 through 13. Are we there? You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that have happened to me in Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. What's the next one say? Let's read it together. Ready? I know it'll be slightly different than yours. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, exactly, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be what?
Persecuted.
Or as Jesus warned, behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent, there's that word, innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues. And you will be dragged before governors and kings for my sake to bear witness before them and Gentiles. When they deliver you over, do not be anxious how you are to speak or what you are to say. For what you are to say will be given to you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of the Father speaking through you. Brother will deliver brother over to death, and father his child, and children will rise against parents and have them put to death. And you will be hated by all, notice that? By all for my name's sake. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you in one town, flee to the next. For truly I say to you, you will have not gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes. A disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for the disciple to be like his teacher, and the servant like his master. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebul, how much more will they malign those of his household? Not only will you suffer because of collateral damage and because of natural consequences of your own sin, you will suffer specifically because you desire to live a godly life. Isn't that what Peter said? You will suffer because you desire to live a godly life, because you follow Jesus. I have said all these things to keep you from falling away. They will put you out of the synagogues. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you will think he is offering service to God. And they will do these things because they have not known the Father nor me. But I have said these things to you that when the hour comes, you may remember that I told them to you. Your faith may even cost you your life. By the way, first quote Matthew 10, second quote John 16. Your faith may even cost you your life, Augie. But notice a couple things that Jesus stated. In what we just read in John, he said these things to you that when your hour comes, you may remember that he told them to you. Did you catch that? He said them specifically so you'd remember them. When things get bad, don't despair. Jesus gave you a heads up. You shouldn't be surprised. Also, from what he said in Matthew, we know, quote, the one who endures to the end will be what? Do you remember? The one who endures to the end will be, begins with an S, rhymes with caved.
Save.
There you go. Couldn't have gotten the hint a little more. Yeah, there you go. I got to keep you guys. Maybe I'll start just throwing things at you while I'm preaching up here. What a promise. Think about that. No matter what happens, if you stay with God, he's got you covered. Or as Paul so beautifully states in Romans 8, 37 and 39, "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all," there's that word again, "in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." Experiencing collateral damage from the sins of others will not separate you from the love of God. Augie, Michelle, Deb.
Just you're scaring me about saying other people are going to try to.
I said they might. I said they might. I didn't say they're definitely going to do it. But you just read, even that won't separate you. As an adopted son or daughter of God, your own sins will not separate you from the love of God. Persecution, what you're worrying about right now. Persecution you experience specifically because you are a child of God will not separate you from the love of God. Do you have that? No matter what happens, whether it's your fault, just the natural consequences of others' sins, or because they go after you specifically because you're a child of God, it cannot separate you from the love of God. Nothing will or can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that is because for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. We cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord because in the ultimate case, think about this, okay? This is what we're remembering every week during communion. We cannot be separated from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord because in the ultimate case of the innocent suffering for the sins of the wicked, Jesus was made to be sin. Did you catch that? Innocent, truly innocent, no sins of his own, ever. And he was made to be sin and suffered for the wicked, of which we were part of. Your sin, our sin, the world's sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And get this, he chose, did you catch that? He chose to be the ultimate collateral damage. Which brings us back to the writer of Lamentations. After he listed all the horrible things he was experiencing, he wrote this. Let's look together. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 19 through 24. Lamentations chapter 3, 19 through 24. Just look for Jeremiah and go one book over. Yeah, in the Old Testament, when you get towards the end, you get a lot of small books that are hard to find too. Chapter 3. And we're looking at verses 19 through 24. So you remember all the horrible things he said were happening to him, right? "Remember my affliction and my wanderings, the wormwood and the gall. My soul continually remembers it and is bowed down within me. But this," got that? "But this I call to mind." Listen to this, Augie, because remember, Jesus warned you so that he'll call what he said to mind too. "But this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him." Jesus chose to die on the cross so that you and you and you and me would never be separated from the love of God. He promises if you endure all the suffering, fair and unfair, You will be what?
Saved.
You got it? He has proven himself trustworthy. Praise God. And like the author of Jeremiah, hope in him. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Hope in the Lord. Great is his faithfulness. Hope in Jesus. Because you know what? If you do that, he will never, ever, ever disappoint you.